Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Joe Bookish Short Story Podcast. This is the first episode. I'm making this channel to hopefully connect with a broader audience. I'd like to write professionally. We'll see what happens there. And I've been writing my entire life. Short stories have always been an avenue for me to deal with emotion, to deal with the complexities of this life experience. Hopefully my writing might resonate with some people. I'll find an audience and maybe be a friend, like authors have been friends of mine through my life. So every week I will write a short story. I'll give a little background on the story. This is the face part of these videos. I'll give a little background on the story, maybe some context in my personal life, or maybe thoughts about the story. And then I will fade out of my face, and I'll narrate. And I might either stream the words, the text, as I read, or I might just display some images, just whatever works better, or whatever you find more satisfying. Okay, so this week's story is going to be called Fish On. It's one of the first stories I ever actually finished. It's one of the first stories that ever made me feel like I wanted to write for an audience. I've been journaling, like I said, my entire life, short stories, all of it. But this was the one that made me think, you know what, this might be good for somebody else too. It's about a kid who goes fishing in a place where he probably shouldn't. So without further ado, Fish On.
"There are fish in that lake bigger than a man," his friends told him, seated at a dinner table under the light that hung like an interrogator's lamp. "Swallow you right up. Don't nobody fuck around out there. You shouldn't either. They're monsters." He found himself on the edge of the lake's only pier, defying his friends just to prove he could. He'd catch one of those monsters and haul it home, mount it, and sell the sucker for a quick buck. His toes suspended over the water, he sat in perfect silence.
"If the fish don't get you, nerves will,"
he thought to himself. He watched the floater on the end of his line bob up and down in an imperceptible breeze. It was his 10th summer in Macon, 12th summer alive. The kids regarded him as an outsider because he wasn't born there, but he aimed to prove himself better than them, native or not. The evening sun edged downward, casting an orange hue onto the water's surface. A mosquito landed on his shin and bit. Had his eyes not been glued to the floater, he'd have been furious. But there it was, vanishing and reappearing in the water. Something was about to happen. His stomach tightened, and he adjusted the grip on his rod. The mosquito finished, flew off, and the floater began to move away from the pier, slowly at first, but with increasing speed. He let the line run with the fish. Didn't want to lose it too quickly. Better to tire it out first. After about 20 feet, the floater stopped completely, then sank in an instant and didn't reappear. His rod whipped forward from the stress of an enormous pull. The boy stood up, braced himself against a 4-inch beam that jutted up from the pier's base, and began to reel in his line. He wondered if his 50-pound test would suffice. Suppose it was maybe too late for wondering. It'd have to do. He reeled haltingly, rod bent like a sapling snare. The reel click, click, clicked while the boy held out to see what his game would do next. The fish seemed to be playing along nicely. The resistance never let up, but it didn't get any worse, and the boy had a strong sense that the situation could go wrong quickly if he failed to get his part right. Minutes passed, one click at a time, and the fish came within 12 feet of the pier. The boy looked over his supplies, eyeing the bat he'd brought to avoid getting speared by a giant cat. He levered the rod against the pier's rail and reached out with his right hand. "Stupid," he thought, realizing that the bat was further away than he'd anticipated. This fish was huge. He didn't want to risk agitating it by tugging on the line edging his way over, but he had no alternative. Rod tension distributed into both hands, he crept onto his feet and elevated the reel assembly to his waist. He allowed the rod to straighten out a bit, bending his wrists until the rod was almost perpendicular to his body. He thought about how he'd look if one of his friends saw him holding a fishing rod straight out like his pecker, but he knew none of those kids were brave enough to be out here anyway. He lifted his right foot, moved it a few inches, and planted it firmly on the next board over. His stance was now 8 inches wider, but the fish hadn't noticed. He lifted his left foot. The line tightened. He set his foot back down, let a few feet of line out until things weren't so tense, and attempted to make his move. First his heel. A tug. He breathed as slowly as possible, closing out everything in the world but himself, his pier, the fish, and the line connecting it all. His foot peeled from the board, back to front. He felt the ball of his foot lift off, and finally his toes were in the air, a hair's breadth above the board. A large mass in the water surged backward, and the boy felt himself lean and lose balance. The line kicked forward into the lake, pulling 2, 5, 10 feet outward before the boy had a chance to react. He was in the air, watching the water's murky green surface fly toward his face. On the left, an unfamiliar sound triggered the boy to take one last curious look at his environment. The enormous flat head of a monster cat loomed dark, water pouring into its vacuum mouth like a vortex. The boy hit the lake and the rod struck his eye, bringing his gaze forward. In the distance, numerous giant cats were visible, fishy eyes staring dully forward at the scene. He thought their fleshy masses resembled an island chain as his predator's mouth closed around him. He felt an instant of blinding pain and was never seen again, blending forever into dinner table conversations held under interrogation lamps.